here in the opening of this cave, let's look at it as a cave. We are on the inside, but the light of Yahweh shines in. But on the inside of the cave, for the next couple of slides, I'll put a verse from the New Covenant Scriptures, because sometimes people say this blessing and curse thing is an Old Testament thing, and you don't find that in the New Testament. That's also not true. Or an Old Covenant thing, and you won't find it in the New Covenant. It's not true. In the New Covenant Scriptures, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, he who sows on blessing will reap on blessing. That is the translation of the scriptures. Some of the other translations would say, he who sows abundantly will reap abundantly. So I thought, okay, what is the exact text? What does the text say? And I went to the Greek, and it says in the Greek, very close to what the scriptures is saying. Because there's a word for on there, epi, used in the Greek, and the word for blessing after that. And I think the word is eulogia. Eulogia, it means to have good words because of the way you've been blessed. So he who sows on blessing will reap on blessing. There's another text in the New Testament that says, what we sow, we will reap. So it means if you sow good things, you will reap good things. If you sow disobedience, you will reap in accordance with that. But we'll talk about that later. But this is a very interesting text. You sow on blessing, will reap on blessing. If you focus on blessing and the environment that is painted for us in scriptures, about where does blessing appear? If you sow on that area, then you will reap on blessing. And it means you will be blessed. Okay, so let's go to the next one. Thanks, Petrus. That verse in Deuteronomy chapter... help me. 28 verse 1. It says there, if you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, guard all his commands, Yahweh shall set you high above all the nations of the earth. So if you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh your Elohim and guard all his commands, or one could say or guard all his commands, because it's the same thing, then Yahweh shall set you high above all the nations of the earth. What a wonderful promise. And do you agree that sometimes people take the promises, but they forget about what goes before that? If you diligently obey the voice of Yahweh or Elohim. And that word, or those two words, diligently obey, in the Hebrew text, is shamoa tishma. It's basically a repetition of the word shama. If you listen, or... hearing, you will hear. Shamoa tishma. Diligently obey. Not just listening, but listening and hearing. And then doing. So hearing, you will hear. Basically, is what where those words are coming from. Blessing is the natural result of alignment with Yahweh's principles and precepts. If we align our lives with his principles, with his commandments, with his teachings, Torah actually means teaching, then blessing will follow. It's the natural result when we align our lives with his teachings. And okay, I've said I'm going to quote from the New Testament, but this is from Psalm 1 and verse 1. Blessed is he who delights in Torah. Blessed is he who delights in Torah. And once again, let me say this one more time. Torah is what the Jews, is the word that the Jews use for, usually for the first five books, but they have a broader understanding of Torah as well. What they understand under those are usually the commandments, the precepts, the mitzvot of scriptures. But Torah basically means teaching. And if we are looking for Yahweh's teaching, we have one major source, and that is the scriptures consisting of 66 books, both the Old Covenant scriptures and the New Covenant scriptures, both the pre-Messianic scriptures and the Messianic scriptures, the scriptures that were written before the coming of Messiah or Yeshua, and also the scriptures that were written after the coming of Messiah. And this verse is telling us, blessed is he who delights in Torah. Okay, Petrus. Yahweh is with you. This is a verse from 2 Chronicles chapter
14
and verse 2. What? When I looked at the computer, I could see that writing, but here I can't see it. Hopefully some of you can see it. Yahweh is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he is found by you. But if you forsake him, he forsakes you. Yahweh is with you while you are with him. And if you seek him, he is found by you. But if you forsake him, he forsakes you. So once again, this is telling us that Yahweh wants to be found. He wants to bless you. He wants to hear your prayer, but he also wants something from your side. It is not a question of just sitting back and receiving everything out of Yahweh's hand. And I've added here because many people would tell you, I am seeking Yahweh. I'm seeking the face of Yahweh. Or some people would even tell you, I can hear that Yahweh said such and such and such. Or I heard that he said it to me. But then if you align that with scriptures, it doesn't align with scriptures. It doesn't sound as if this is the scriptural pattern. So there is a difference between seeking Yahweh and claiming to seek Yahweh. When Yahweh says he wants us to seek him, we need to go look at the proper place to find him. And that is at the place where he revealed himself. And that is in his word. In the Torah, in the prophets, in the New Covenant scriptures. There you are going to find Yahweh. You're going to find what his character is all about. You're going to find what his way of dealing with us as people is all about. So there is a difference between seeking Yahweh and claiming to seek Yahweh. Be careful not to say, I seek Yahweh, when you are actually wanting Yahweh to say something that you enjoy or that you want to hear. And there's also a difference between hearing Yahweh and claiming to hear Yahweh. The place where we will hear Yahweh is in scriptures. So when we read scriptures, we will hear Yahweh. Be very careful to claim that you have heard Yahweh say such and such, when it is actually your own ideas and your own desires and your own way of thinking, which may be different from the pattern that we have in scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20, I am against those who presume to speak in my name. Did you know there's a verse like that? I am against those who presume to speak in my name. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 20. Let's go to the next.
Can I would presume?
Mense wat het aanvaar, maar hulle aanvaar dit verkeerdelik. Presume is more like there's something that is not, you presume something, but you presume wrongly. So jy aanvaar dat jy in sy naam, of jy gee voor dat jy in sy naam spreek, maar jy spreek nie regtig in sy naam nie. Okay, Petrus. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 3. If you walk in my statutes, I will bless you. As simple as that. If you walk in my statutes, I will bless you. And I want you to look at the importance of this word if, which is the Hebrew word im. So that sentence would start with im. If you walk in my so that is the condition. It's not unconditional. If you walk in my statutes. Yahweh desires to pour out his blessing or to pour out blessing, but will not do so if we choose a lifestyle that is not linked with blessing anywhere in Scripture. So if we choose a lifestyle that is not linked to Scripture or to blessing anywhere in Scripture. So people sometimes base their lifestyle upon what they think it should be, or what others are telling them it should be, even what certain churches are telling them what it should be. But in Scriptures, a lifestyle that, like that is not connected to blessing. You understand what I'm trying to say? It's not a lifestyle that happens within the environment of blessing. And that kind of lifestyle is also not rewarded with blessing. John chapter 15 and verse 10. If you keep my teachings, you will abide in me. See the word if there. If you keep my teachings, you will abide in me, Yeshua said. Now I will, a little bit later in one of the other slides, I will talk about Yeshua's teachings or Yeshua's commandments and how those link to the commandments of Yahweh. Would like to say something about that as well. But for this slide, I want you to notice the importance of this word, if. If you walk in my statutes, I will bless you. And that our lifestyle should be the kind of lifestyle that is connected with blessing in Scriptures as well. Thank you, Petrus. The Jews like to use this expression, kli yakar, or kli yakar, which means a precious vessel. So Yahweh wants to pour his blessing into a kli yakar, a precious vessel. He's not in the business of just blessing randomly, although he takes care of everyone, and we cannot ignore that he takes care of each and every person in this world. But when it comes to his specific blessings, he's looking for a kli yakar, a precious vessel, so that I may be able to receive and hold Yahweh's blessings, not only to receive them but also to hold them and to cherish them and to spread those blessings so that others may also benefit from them. If I do the opposite, if I'm not a kli yakar, shutting out certain parts of the word by building a thick wall around myself, this is what it means. If you're not a kli yakar, you are not ready to receive the full impact of the word of Yahweh. There are certain things that you're ready to accept. There are certain other things that you are not ready to accept. So you are building a wall around yourself. And this wall becomes thicker and thicker, and it becomes darker and darker on the inside of this wall. And then you can know the sun will still shine, but the room of my life will remain dark if I've built a wall like that around myself. And we read about this vessel in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20, where it says, a vessel of honor is set apart and useful for the master. Shaul is speaking to his, let's say, spiritual son, Timothy. And he says to him, a vessel of honor is set apart and useful for the master. Our master is Yeshua and Yahweh. Yeshua is the one who revealed Yahweh to us. Yeshua is the one who gave us the ability to approach Yahweh. And he wants us to be useful in the kingdom. And this is what a kli yakar really means. Let's go to the next one. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine, Yeshua is speaking here in, is it Matthew? Matthew 7 verse 24. Okay, if I stand here a little bit better, I'm struggling from this side. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. I'm sure you've heard of that saying of Yeshua. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And now, I've said just now before that I'm going to talk about these sayings of mine. What? How do we understand the sayings or the commandments or the teachings of Yeshua? And what is the relationship between Yeshua's teachings, Yeshua's commandments, Yeshua's sayings, if we compare them with Yahweh's commandments and Yahweh's sayings? So whose are these sayings? Let us read a couple of verses. I will raise up for them a prophet. Remember, this is something that we read about in, I think, the book of Deuteronomy. I will raise up for them a prophet, and I, Yahweh speaking, I will put my words in his mouth. This is in the New Covenant Scriptures, this is recognized as a prophetic words pointing towards Yeshua. It is quoted in the New Covenant Scriptures. So we know this is also at least partially referring to Yeshua. I will raise up for them a prophet, and I will put my words in his mouth. So what Yeshua is telling us, or what he taught his followers or his disciples, those were the very words of Yahweh. He put those words in Yeshua's mouth. Whatever, Yeshua is speaking here, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So Yeshua's teachings, or Yeshua's sayings, are Yahweh's teachings and Yahweh's commandments. He said, and this is once more too difficult to...
I do not speak on my own authority.
I do not speak on my own authority. Also Yeshua who said this. I do not speak on my own authority. He spoke on the authority, or by the authority that he received from his Father. And at another place he said, the word which you hear is not mine. Clearly, we know that, and everyone who hears these sayings of mine, but they are not really Yeshua's, they do not originate from Yeshua, they originate from Yahweh. Because this is why Yeshua came, to enlighten and to enhance the words of his Father, and to teach us what are really important for us to hear as well. And even this verse, John chapter 8 and verse 28, I do none at all of myself, Yeshua said. I do none at all of myself. So Yeshua was the first one to recognize and to say to his followers, when you listen to me, you are actually listening to our Heavenly Father. And remember, Yeshua called Yahweh his Father, like we should call Yahweh our Father. And he called Yahweh his Elohim, like we should call Yahweh our Elohim. So how can we say following Yeshua is different from obeying Yahweh? I'm saying this because sometimes people would put the blessings and the curses back and say it's not for us any longer. We are listening to Yeshua. We are listening to Yeshua's words. But Yeshua pointed back to Yahweh. That's why we have that wonderful verse in Matthew chapter 5 where Yeshua said, do not think that I came to destroy the Torah. I didn't come to destroy Torah. I came to fulfill Torah. I came to give Torah the significant place that it should have in your lives. So how can we say following Yeshua is different from obeying Yahweh? Thanks, Petrus. The promises of Yahweh cannot be separated from his precepts. And I've said it already, but I'm going to say it again. We cannot take the promises alone and say, this is a promise that I've received from Yahweh, and I'm standing on this promise. The question is, have you listened to the condition? Have you listened to the precept? Have you listened to what is linked to that promise? Even if you don't see the link right there in that verse, you have to go and look at that chapter where you read about that promise. What is this chapter all about? What lies behind this chapter? Yahweh are giving us promises, and He loves to give promises. But remember, we are in a covenant relationship with Him. And we'll say something about that right now. Well, right here. The covenant has two sides. I will be your Elohim. Elohim is the word that we've known as God. But Elohim is such a wonderful word with a wonderful meaning. It means mighty one. The mighty one. Elohim. I shall be your Elohim and you shall be my people. So this is the covenant. And so there's a give and take. Yahweh wants to be our mighty one. He wants to protect us. He wants to guide us. He wants to provide for us. He wants to show us His kindness. He wants to teach us about His righteousness. But He wants us to be His people, to live like His people, not His disobedient children. And if we are disobedient, He wants us to come back to obedience again. Obedience creates the vessel and sustains the blessing. Obedience creates the vessel. If we are obedient, we are a suitable vessel, and this will sustain the blessing. Otherwise, we may lose the blessing. The people of Israel many times lost out on the blessing because they chose to go after other mighty ones. Disobedience destroys the vessel and blocks the blessing. So obedience creates the vessel and sustains the blessing. Disobedience destroys the vessel and blocks the blessing. This covenant language that I've tried to put in those words. I shall be your Elohim and you shall be my people. This is the covenant. This is the essence of the covenant relationship. And some people would say, okay, this was Yahweh's relationship with His people, Israel. But listen here. I counted three times in the New Covenant Scriptures where we have the exact same words. I will be their Elohim and they will be my people. Not only physical Israel, but also those like us who joined Yahweh and thereby also became family with the people of Israel. In a very special sense. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 16, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, and there are other verses also where the exact same words aren't used, but the same concept can be seen. So even in the Messianic Scriptures, clearly we can see that this covenant still exists. It is still important. It is still the special relationship that we are standing in with our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. I will be their Elohim and they will be my people. And the question is this the last slide, Petrus? Or is there another one? The question is your life a suitable container to receive His abundant blessing? Is your life a suitable container to receive His abundant blessing?